This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time, as he is every Thursday, John Gizzi, political editor of Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. John, it's always great to have you with us.
It's always great to be here, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Well, plenty on the political plate this week. Let's start with Afghanistan. The president is still saying that in the coming weeks he will make a decision on our strategy there and ultimately some troop levels. There are already some reports that he's agreed to an addition of about 40,000 to 45,000 forces, but the White House says that's not official yet, so we'll probably find out somewhere in the coming days. Your thoughts on the impact of this on the war and on Obama politically, the longer he takes?
That's a report from the BBC, which Press Secretary Robert Gibbs spent a good part of the briefing earlier this week denying and disparaging. In the end, the figure will be something between 45,000 and 80,000 if President Obama agrees to it. My own feeling is that the president is between the proverbial rock and the hard place. If he agrees to it, he honors the wishes of his appointed general, McChrystal, and his appointed ambassador, Ambassador Eikenberry, as well as the Central Command commander, General David Petraeus. In other words, he listens to those he is supposed to have trust in. On the other hand, he will also enhance the anti-war wing of the Democratic Party and cause a possible estrangement with the group that was a pivotal part of his winning coalition in 2008. I have to say that if the president gives in to that wing of the party and doesn't listen to his own people, he risks the idea of resignation in protest and a very terrible mistake down the line. That was a conclusion of someone who urged the president to follow his advice and said a disaster would ensue in Afghanistan and it would deal with Russia, parts of China, Pakistan, and eventually India. And that person, Henry Kissinger.
John, one of the folks we're hearing is leading the charge against the McChrystal recommendations is the president's own running mate, Joe Biden, who wants troops scaled back. He wants a focus on taking on al-Qaeda right in the border region, not necessarily worried if the Taliban becomes some sort of part of the government again. He thinks that special forces and drones can take care of most of the military work we need to do. What do you make of him taking on such a high-profile opposition role to what McChrystal's saying, and what happens to him if Obama goes with the general?
Well, Obama may well go with the general, and if so, his vice president wins a special place in the hearts of those who are on the left of his party and the anti-war movement, in a sense that he becomes the envoy to the far left, just as many said that Vice President Dan Quayle was President George H.W. Bush's envoy to the right. I have to say, again, referring to the lecture I heard from Secretary Kissinger last week, he pointed out that the problem in Vietnam was that U.S. and South Vietnamese forces only secured territory for part of the time. We ran it by day, the Viet Cong controlled it by night. And he said it is better to have 100% control of 60% of the territory than it is to have 60% control of 100% of the territory, which is what Vice President Biden seems to be advocating in Afghanistan right now.
John, let's stay on the international stage. It's been almost a week, but it was last Friday morning when we found out that President Obama was the surprising winner of the 2009 Nobel Peace Prize. Reaction all across the board from those who were asking what he did to deserve it to those who were saying he's clearly reset U.S. Diplomatic priorities and is now on a better footing with the rest of the world. Your thoughts and the impact of all this?
Well, it's very obvious that right now Oslo and the Nobel Committee is becoming more and more political as time goes on. In just the last 10 years, Al Gore has received the Nobel Prize for trying to alert the world to the dangers of climate control, and Jimmy Carter for his devotion to the cause of peace, all very generic categories. So a president who is inspiring people and making efforts should not be a surprise to many people. This differs very sharply from the substantive achievements that a once noble Nobel Prize used to be awarded to, like President Theodore Roosevelt in trying to end the Russian-Japanese War, or Woodrow Wilson in trying to start the League of Nations. These were substantive accomplishments, whatever their ramifications in the long run. They were not just hopeful signs, and this leads many to believe that the Nobel Committee is still trying to make an obscene gesture at the American Europeans' love to hate George W. Bush. On the other hand, there's always a bright side, and my friend Raymond Lowe from Austrian radio and TV in Brussels tells me, hold on, my friend, Oslo voted for hope.
John, let's move to domestic issues now, and the health care process is a little bit further along than it was when the week began, because the Senate Finance Committee, led by Max Baucus, approved the bill, which he, in a very lonely manner, rolled out just a few weeks ago. It was a party-line vote with the exception of Republican Olympia Snow. Was there much surprise on the right side of the aisle that, at least on the committee vote, she went with the Democrats?
Actually, there was, because her utterances before the vote indicated that she was leaning against it. And you can Google Olympia Snow or look up old newspaper stories, and you'll find that she was at least playing her cards close to the vest. In the end, she went for it just as she went for the stimulus package, along with two other Republican senators, one of whom has since become a Democrat. Now, again, this does not mean that the Baucus bill, the product of the Gang of Six, is going to be law. By no means. Organized labor has taken out ads in newspapers across the country denouncing the proposal because it lacks public option that the House bill has. Many of the Blue Dog Democrats in the Senate, Senators Nelson of Nebraska, Nelson of Florida, and Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, have expressed some doubts about this measure. A filibuster seems inevitable, and my guess is that whatever the toasting that went on yesterday, it will not see the light of day in the end, even if Congress stays in session till Christmas.
So your prediction stands that nothing will pass this year?
Absolutely.
Let's move on, John, in our last couple of minutes here. Election Day is less than 3 weeks away now, and we're going to build up to the highest profile races as we get closer to Election Day. It's an odd numbered year, so there aren't that many high profile races around the country, but there are some. So we'll get the ball rolling here with the New York City mayoral race. Michael Bloomberg has already served two four-year terms. He came into office right after 9/11, actually changed the law to allow him to run for a third term. Will he get it?
Yes, he will. I will say one thing, that Bloomberg, because the Democrats are divided and his opponent, who is the city controller, had to really fight for nomination, he'll do better than people expect, but people will give Bloomberg a third term. I would say 4 years from now, his honor should think very seriously about not trying for a fourth term, if that was legally possible.
John, let's move to a couple of special congressional races, because the previous members have either left or taken new positions, and I guess it's true in both cases. First of all, out in California, Democrat Ellen Tauscher, known kind of as a moderate for the past decade or so, has taken a new position. The seat is open. It will be decided on Election Day. Do the Democrats keep it, or do the Republicans pick it up?
Democrats will keep it, but very narrowly. Conservative Republican David Harmer is running an excellent campaign, or so I was told when I was in California 2 weeks ago. The Democrat, John Garamendi, is lieutenant governor of the state, has run for other statewide offices, does not live in the district, although that's not so much of an issue in California. He had to beat a lot of other Democrats to win nomination, and there's a lot of rancor out there. Keep your eye on that Republican and the Tea Party, folks.
John, let's move to New York. We've already talked about this race because Republicans, or at least many conservatives, are not happy with the choice in the race to replace Republican Congressman John McHugh in New York's 23rd congressional district. He was appointed by the president to be the new Secretary of the Army. Now Republicans have nominated DC Scozafava, who conservatives say is not a conservative or a Republican at all if you look at her record. Republicans say that this conservative party challenger, Doug Hoffman, is going to do nothing except elect another Democrat to Congress. What's going to happen?
Well, I note with interest that President Obama, according to his spokesman, Mr. Gibbs, has three locales for political stumping on his agenda: Virginia, New Jersey, and New York's 23rd district. And the Democrat, Bill Owens, was at the White House yesterday and then attended a fundraising event hosted by Nancy Pelosi last night. That said, more and more Republicans are going to Hoffman, who is well-funded and well-connected in the business community. He's a successful CPA with offices throughout the 11-county district, and more Republicans and nationally known conservatives, such as former presidential candidates Gary Bauer and Fred Thompson, are publicly weighing in for him. And as his spokesman said, there's the same people who organized the tea parties for him who are walking door to door for the Hoffman campaign. My guess is that the next congressman from New York's 23rd district will be neither Republican nor Democrat, but a conservative with a capital C, Doug Hoffman.
The third-party challenger is the prediction of John Gizzi. In the weeks ahead, we'll take a look at those key gubernatorial races in New Jersey and Virginia. John, until then, we'll talk to you later. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me, Greg. I look forward to future stories and perhaps vindication on some predictions.
We'll find out in early November. John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.